Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh, so much for the beautiful day you blessed us with. So many things you've given us already this day, and now the blessed opportunity to once again get back into your word. We truly thank you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z, beginning the word holiness. It's not used a lot, but we see it first used in Exodus chapter 15 in verse 11. It reads, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" And then next time we see it is all the way over in 1 Chronicles. Now we know holiness is being holy and displaying holiness. And in the display of being holy, you're representing good, you are displaying righteousness, and worthy of recognition as being righteous. And we account the Lord as the true example of holiness, as we see this once again used over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We can pick it up here in verse 23, where it reads, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And that holiness is of the Lord. He is the one that is the example of holiness, that we all need to achieve holiness in our lives by living in the way that he wants us to live, to bring honor and glory to him, and to be holy, because as he says, he is holy, so we should be holy. All right, now turn over to Psalm 29, the next place we see the word used. In Psalm 29, verse 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." In the beauty of holiness is our actions, our behavior. So we need to display righteousness and holiness in our worship and praise to the Lord. In Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." He has established the standard of holiness. In Psalm 47, in verse 6, it reads, "Sing praises to God, sing praises and to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his righteousness." His righteousness. That's what we need to recognize and acknowledge and hope to achieve, a God-glorifying, holy lives in ourselves. All right, now in Psalm 48, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So, the mountain of the Lord's holiness, His holiness. And in Psalm 89, flip on over there, in 89, in verse 34, "My covenant will I not break nor alter, the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven, Selah." Now, some of these verses here, verse 35 through 37 here, are a prophecy concerning the bloodline of David, which we can follow all the way to Jesus Christ by way of Mary. So we have this prophecy about the seed of David. His seed shall endure forever, being Jesus Christ. And as he mentioned there about the holiness in verse 35 again, "Once have I sworn by my holiness," his holiness. So when you are holy, as he is, you are accountable to that holiness to continue that in order to be accounted as being holy. This is something you just put on now and then. Like some people will try to put on holiness when they come to church on Sundays throughout the week, no sign of it, but whoop, suddenly they are holy and they come to church. And that's just a hypocrite. All right, now Psalm 93 reads, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." All right, now Psalm 96. See a couple verses here. Verse 8, 9. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." Now we see the acknowledgement and the declaring of the holiness of the Lord. And then when we come to him, then we need to display holiness and to be holy in his presence and in our process of worshiping him. Like it says there again in verse 9, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We worship him in holiness. We need to be holy. We need to be walking a God-glorifying life. And we're out there in the world. We are the ambassadors of God. We are representing God. Therefore, as we have seen through these various verses we've read, that God is holy and that we need to be holy in his presence. We need to be holy in the world when we represent him and going out into the world. Therefore, we need to be holy at all times, displaying holiness, not just a blanket or a cover or a costume or an appearance of it, but to have true holiness. True holiness comes from the heart, because you are indwelt with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is third part of the Trinity. And when we've fully let the image of God shine through us into the world, then we are displaying the holiness of God. So we got to get ourselves out of the way and let the beauty of the holiness that can be seen in us, because it's actually God that's being revealed in us, to show the world. Because that's why it's talking about the beauty of holiness. And we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then he puts it there, fear before him all the earth. We are accountable for everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we think. We need to make sure that we keep as much of us as possible on the straight and narrow at all the times. Granted, we have that tug of war that Paul writes about. Always that tug of war. But we need to win that tug of war by allowing the holiness of Jesus Christ, the holiness of God, the holiness of the indwelling Spirit within us shine out and be evident to everyone around us. Then we are worshiping the Lord and presenting the Lord and the beauty of holiness. It's so awesome that he allows us to be a conduit to shine his light, to share his love, to display his holiness right through us into the world. A great opportunity, great responsibility as well, because that's why he puts it in there where he says, fear before him all the earth, before the Lord, because he is the great judge. He is going to hold everyone accountable. The only way to be pardoned is to ask for forgiveness, to get it washed in the blood. Then the sins won't be held up against you. So we got to keep it prayed up and always presenting the beauty of holiness everywhere, before everyone, and all of the time. Even our very thoughts that we have need to bring honor and glory to the Lord. All right, Psalm 97. Pick it up here in verse 9, where it reads, "For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." See, when we keep in mind the holiness of God, and then that is our goal, to represent him all the time, and to present his holiness all the time. And over there in 98, verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." So, the Lord being holy, then therefore he displays holiness, and then we, being filled with the indwelling Spirit of the Lord, need to display that holiness everywhere and always keep in mind the holiness of the Lord, the righteousness of God, that he can blanket upon us. All right, now if you will, turn all the way over to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 35, we see here, as it reads, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. This is speaking of the prophecies of the last days, and speaking of the holiness, the way of holiness, that we will see someday. And these are prophecies concerning the Lord and His coming, when He came and paid the ultimate price for us, and how He healed so many. And then later this healing will be available also, whereas then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. The restoration that will occur for the millennial period, and the healings that will be available for those that trust in the Lord. All that, speaking of the righteous pathway, the way of righteousness is the way to the Lord. And then when we are on the right pathway, we are on the pathway of righteousness. And that is available for those that trust in the Lord, and only for those that trust in the Lord. All right, now if you will turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 2. See a few verses here. It reads, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me," of course to Jeremiah, "saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." Accounting some of the past of the children of Israel. At one time they walked with the Lord in a way that they could be considered holy. And then, of course, the various trials that they went through, the various times of falling away and then coming back again, as well as many of us can attest to the fact that ourselves, many times we've been on the right path, a straight and narrow, and we've wavered, we've fallen away, but we've got to know that we can turn to the Lord and get it right and get back on the right pathway of holiness, and always represent the Lord in the right way as holy. He's holy, and we need to be holy. All right, now if you will turn over to Luke in chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we see the account of the birth of John the Baptist, and also the account of the prophecies given to Mary, that she was going to have a son, and his name would be Jesus. As we see Mary telling Elizabeth about the coming birth of Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days, and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence it is to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table, and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. See, that's what we should strive for, what he is speaking here, to do what is now available, to live in holiness, to display holiness and righteousness because of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, because of salvation is now available, because of the fulfillment of the things that we're reading here, as he continues. And thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Speaking of John the Baptist, preparing the way. Prophesied that it would occur and fulfilled. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. And he fulfilled the prophecies to do the task that was laid out for him to do, to prepare the ground, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, and to bring that availability to be able to be indwelt with the Holy Ghost and to present and display the holiness of God clothed in the righteousness of God. Verse 75 again, in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. That's the desire that we should all have. That's the goal that we all need. And because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that was prophesied and occurred, we all now have the availability to do what He just said, to live in holiness and righteousness before God, and to represent Him as ambassadors of God, displaying His holiness in the world all the time. Everything that we say, everything we do, everything that we think should always be as holy as possible. And to eschew evil, as it says, to flee from evil. Don't be a part of it. Come out of that. Be a new creature in Christ. And that's clearly what we can become when we totally submit ourselves to God. And then He can display His holiness through us into the world. That's our goal. That's our desire. At least that should be our goal and should be our desire. Sad to say, way too many times it's not. But be holy, for He is holy. Display the holiness and righteousness of God. That is our opportunity as well as our responsibility. And it should be our pleasure as well. So let's do that very thing, to always display Jesus Christ, to always display His holiness and His righteousness everywhere that we go. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank You for the holiness that You have, that You represent, that You allow us to be a part of, that You can blanket us with, and that we then can share with others in the world. Help us all to truly do that, to share that wondrous gift of salvation that You have given us that truly trust in You. And so, so much to be thankful for. We truly do thank You, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.